real. Amen. How many knows their God is real this morning? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to reconfirm what you believe in this morning. Amen. In case there's someone here that does not know that their God is real and alive and well, maybe we'll stir your heart into believing God. Amen. Genesis chapter 1:1, we see this verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. A lot of your Bible theologians believe that between verse 1 and verse 2, there's approximately maybe a billion years. They don't know. All we do know is in the beginning, there was God. Amen. In the beginning, God. He's always been. People say, well, where did God come from, preacher? God has no beginning and He has no ending. That's hard for our little minds to realize. But can I tell you this morning? We call ourselves having a beginning when we're born. But God knew us before then. Amen? God looked down and knew when you was going to be born. And can I tell you something else about yourself you probably don't know? You will have no end. Have you ever thought of it that way? Some of us never thought about it that way. We think, well, death will be the end. No. Death is the doorstep to eternal. You're either going to be in hell or you'll be in heaven for eternity. What's eternity? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you can put 100,000 evers and it will still have just begun. That's what eternity is. But it says, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, in the Word of God, we have no scripture that comes forth and tells us of the beginning of God. Why? Because it's not about where God began. It's about trusting that God is here today and will always be with us. The scripture always shows proofs of His existence, but never of His beginning. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, should be on the board if he's with me. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? It means unless you have faith this morning and put your faith in God, there's no hope for you. You must put your faith and you must put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout history, man has tried to say there's no God. Throughout the history, scientists have tried to prove there's no God. Some of us probably know of a man from school that we studied about. His name was Darwin. Any of you remember him? You know, we have this false information that we've been teaching in school for years now, that we came from monkeys. I don't know about you, but I did not come from a monkey. Now, I know some people that look and act like they might have. But I can tell you for sure they did not come from monkeys. One thing that problem with Darwin's theory on evolution is this. His theory says that man, we just evolved. It started with an amoeba, and the amoeba turned into a tadpole with a tail and wallowed up onto the deck someplace of sand, and shook his tail off and decided to put some legs on, and And then the next thing, it grew into up with another bigger tail that started walking upright and swinging in the trees, and then dropped its tail off and become man. If that's the case, church, if that is what you believe, well, answer me this one question. Why are they not every stage of that present in life today? Why do you not see people, why do these monkeys in the zoos, why do they not go out there one day and one of them monkeys become a man? It doesn't happen. It's false information. You say, well, preacher, why are you taking it? Well, because if I don't take the time to correct it now, there's a lot of people that go to school and they believe every drop of that garbage that school teaches. And we got to correct the situation. It has to do with believing in God. But Darwin, there's an old joke that went around where God and Darwin, Darwin challenged God to a challenge on making man. And God reached down, and he spoke and got some dirt, blew into it, made man. Darwin says, that's no problem. He reached down on the floor and started scraping up some dirt. And God says, hold on a minute. Get your own dirt. Amen? Get your own dirt. You say, well, I appreciate that didn't happen. No, but it pinpoints exactly what we've been trying to tell you this morning, and what we're going to try to tell you, is man wants to take stuff that God's made and try to say, there is no God. You realize that? Man tries to take something that God has made and ordained and given to us for a blessing and for an enjoyment, and man tries to take it and turn it and says, well, see, there's no God. Can I tell you this, that there's been millions and millions of attempts to prove that there's no God? And for scientists that's tried to do that, there's more of them get saved trying to prove the non-existence of God than they can prove it. Why? Because they start trying to prove God does not exist, and they made a believer out of themselves. Hey, evidently he does. God does exist. Our first big point this morning is this. His existence is evident to all. You realize that? His existence, God's existence, is known to everybody. So, preacher, where do you find that at? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Look with me at Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. Romans 1:19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no more excuse. Why? Because God says he's made everything. He's made everything. Everything you see, everything that's in the universe today, God spoke it into existence. And I want you to realize, this morning we, in our Sunday school devotion, we had a verse talking about God's word is always settled. It's settled forever in heaven. It's a done deal. You realize that not only is it settled, but God's word has power. He used it to speak the world into existence. He spoke and it was so. Amen? But he didn't speak man into existence, did he? No. He made man by his own hands. I want you to see something here. I'm going to try to describe something to you that you might not have ever thought of this morning. God spoke the universe into existence. He spoke the sun and the moon and the stars into existence. He made animals. He spoke everything into existence. But when it came to man, when it came to Adam, it said, the Bible says in Genesis that he formed Adam. And what did he do? Out of dirt? And then he breathed life into Adam. Then how did he make woman? Well, he had to take apart what he had made of man and make woman. He reached into the side. Did you know this is the reason why scientists, when they find a skeleton that's been buried for a long time, they can tell real fast whether it's a man or a woman? You ever thought about that? It's because a lady has got more ribs than a man. A man's skeleton is missing one. Why? Because God took a rib from Adam's side and made man. Or made Eve. He made Eve. And he made Eve to be a helpmate. He noticed he didn't take it from the toe for man to walk on. He did not take a bone from the head for a woman to be lord of. He took a rib from the side, meaning and to signify that a woman is to be a helpmate unto a man. They're supposed to be partners. They're supposed to be buddies. I tell you what, my wife is my best bud. Amen? I don't like doing anything unless she's with me. Why? Because we're partners. As I remember telling somebody long ago, you know, I found my spare rib, amen? At least she's in the nursery. I hope she didn't hear that this morning. But anyway. anyway, you'll tell her. I know somebody's going to tell her. If a person denies the existence of God, then they have no reference point to correctly understand themselves or the world around them. You realize that? You have no reference point to draw from if you deny the existence of God. Number two, only a fool denies that God exists. So, preacher, that's pretty strong words, no? It's what God says. Look at Psalms 53. Psalms 53, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." God says, hey, look, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. By the way, I've met a few of those. Have you? Have you? In fact, last night, I was flipping the TV around. I was just flipping channel to channel and come across, I can't remember, Northwest Mountain Police or something. I can't remember now what it was called. And they had this guy on there, and they was arresting him, and he was saying that he didn't believe in God. And I mean, he was going on, and I'm like, I tell you what, it don't take far to go find an idiot, do we? You know, find a fool. That's what God calls him, is a fool. I didn't call him. God did. Because a man that says, or a person that says there is no God, the Bible says you're a fool. A foolish person denies the existence of God. Turn with me back to Romans 1. Romans 1, 18. Let me give you something here. It says, Apostle Paul writes this. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Paul writes that God's wrath will come upon those that are ungodly and unrighteous because they hold not the truth and believe in Him. And then look down with me in verse 21, the same chapter. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So, preacher, what is that you just read? Well, that people that don't believe in God will start worshiping other things. Verse 23 says that they cannot believe in God is something because they cannot touch it. They cannot see God. So they don't believe God is real. I tell you what, this has always confounded and just surprised me all to pieces. Why? Because I don't understand how people cannot put their trust and faith in God. I met a lady here, it's been probably 10 years ago or longer, and told me this. She said, "Preacher, if I can't see Him and I can't lay my hands on Him, how do you know He's there? How do you know He's real?" Well, on the outside, that sounds like a good question, doesn't it? But here's the thing. How do you know God's real? There's a lot of people that don't believe in God because they can't lay eyes on Him and they cannot see Him. So, let me ask you this. Does that mean God is not real? Mm-mm. Love. Love is one of those things you can't see. You can't touch. But you can feel it. But does it mean because you don't see and touch it that love is not real? Think about it. God, the Bible says God is a spirit, and he that worships Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today, church, God is real. God is real. So just because you can't touch Him, just because you can't lay your hands upon Him, doesn't mean He's not real. What else did He say here? He goes on to say that because they do not believe, they fall for the things of Satan and the filth of the world by dishonoring their body and worship the things that God made. You realize today in America that we have a higher ratio of people that do not believe in God than we've ever had before. And you may say that again. Even today in America, we have more people that do not believe in God than we've ever had in the history of America. How can I say that? How can I go out on a limb and make such a bold statement? I can tell you a reason why. Because look in the last 6 months what's happened in our world. Look what's going on. Every day you hear about something going on. I'm talking about the global warming crowd. I'm talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about taking things that God has made holy and acceptable and taking it and corrupted it and made it worthless. Look at marriage. Look at marriage. Marriage used to be a word that meant a man and a woman together for life. Why? Because that's what God meant for it to be. But what happened? The world has taken something God has made and called it holy and perverted it because they do not believe in God. They don't believe in God. Let me get on this global warming for a minute because it's been in our news here lately and people are falling for it, line, hook, and sinker. Can I tell you something? Global warming is a religion. It's an anti-God religion. It does not worship God. It takes everything God has made and corrupts it and says it does not happen. Everything the global warming. In fact, I read this last Monday. I think it was in the New York Times is where it was. Is that a Washington Post one? I can't remember one. But anyway, you can go back and verify it. It said this. If man, if the world, if the global warming people, the ones that want to put all these things, regulations upon you and I, that's all it is. It's putting more and more stuff and costing us more and more money that we don't need to pay. And they want to put it on us. If they got their choice, if they got their way and they did everything that they wanted to do, do you know what it's going to do to the world climate in the next 200 years? It's not going to lower it but a half a degree. I want to ask you something. What fool will go for it? God calls him a fool. Amen? Who's going to believe it? Only fools are going to believe it. Because they don't believe in God. I got news for them this morning. See, if they believe in God this morning, if the global warming crowd, and you may be somebody here today who believes in it, maybe I can change your mind. If you believe in it, you better get in God's Word. Because God says differently. God says this world's going to be here for a while. There's nothing you can do about it. This world's going to last a lot longer than you and I. You know, if the Lord was to come, if the rapture was to happen right now, and we go up, and you get left behind, you still got 1,007 years that this world will last, according to the Word of God. I didn't write it. You better take it up with God. This is the reason why I know God's real. And the global warming crowd is full of it. Amen? They're lying to us. Have you ever thought and asked yourself, why are the global warming people want to do all this? Let me give you Al Gore's words. Most of you might know him. Who knows? He might want to run for president. But I'll tell you what he said in his movie. All right, and this is not a promotion for him. I'm just simply telling you what he said. He said, they asked him about flying all over the world in his little private jet. And they said, isn't that going to hurt the environment? That's what the global warming wants to tell you it does. But what does he do? He says, I buy carbon credits. Anybody know what carbon credits is? It's things that make the billionaires like him feel good about himself by throwing some money at it and say, okay, well, that makes it all right. I can go on and do it anyway. But you and I, that's not what we have a choice to do. They come in. I found out here the other day, this new Jeep I've got out here. Global warming's already affected it. You realize that your new vehicles now is going to have a new filtering system on it. Thanks to the EPA and the global warming. Filtering the exhaust. You realize that? I had no clue. And I said, it's something new in all the new 2015 cars. Regulated by law now. What I'm trying to point out to you, it has nothing to do with the environment. It has nothing to do. It has everything to do with, is God real? If God is real, they wouldn't try to be putting all this on people. But because they don't believe in God, they're taking what God has made, and they're ultimately trying to destroy it. They're the ones doing the environment the harm. And you're saying, preacher, are you believing it's okay to hurt the environment? No. I believe you ought to take care of yourself and clean up the place. Okay? You know, it's like your house. You ought to keep it clean. Amen? I think our world in which we live, we ought to keep it clean. But I don't buy all this stuff that the government's putting out on us. Why? Because it's people that says there's no God making the laws against us. It's people that says, hey, there's no God. They're serving what Romans here says, what Paul says. They're serving the creation more than the Creator. Why? Because they do not believe in God. Now let me show you something else. Number three, there's no excuse for denying His existence. You realize that this morning? Some people say, well, I have an excuse. No, you don't. Stand before God and say, God, I have an excuse for not believing in you. He's going to laugh at you because we have no excuses. Look at Romans 1:20. I listed it out a while ago. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are out without excuse. We don't have an excuse. And you say, well, preacher, what about the man that lives in Zimbabwe and has never heard about God? Can I tell you, unless he trusts Jesus as his personal Savior, he will still die and go to hell. And you say, ooh, that's hard. That's tough. That's the truth. You say, how do you know? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Turn to Psalms 91, or 19. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. You realize today that the guy that's never heard about God, that lives in the back parts of the world, that's never had a chance to have somebody tell him about Jesus, do you realize that he believes there's something bigger than he is? You realize that? He looks around, and the Bible says that the heavens declare that there's a God. The world around declares that there's a God. You know, this is the reason why Paul, when he was over in Athens, and we'll get to it in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 23, says that they built an idol to an unknown God in case they was afraid they might have left somebody out. Amen? They didn't want to be in trouble. You know, they had this statue to this one and this one and this one, and they went down through there and they thought, well, just in case we miss somebody, we better make one to an unknown God, and that way we'll all be covered. Even the heathen knows there's a God. You realize that? The heathen knows there's a God. But today we have people that are supposed to be educated and well-known. And the book of Daniel says in the last day, knowledge will run to and fro, and knowledge will abound. But yet, God will be non-existent to them. God is not on their radar. You say, preacher, what about the man in Africa? How is he going to know there's a God? Well, can I tell you something? When the grass grows, he knows that something's making it do it, and it's a God. When the sky is blue, he knows there's a God. He said, when the sun comes up and it's hot, he knows that somebody turned it on. Something bigger than he was. He knows it was a God. He might not have a name for it, but he knows it's bigger than him. When the trees bloom, he knows it's God. When the stars are in the sky, he knows it's God. When it's raining, he knows it's God. Problem is today, do you know it's God? God's creation proves that there's a God. Don't you realize that? His creation proves that he's a God. Then the Bible reveals the true God. Amen? The Bible reveals the true God. So many times, people try to disprove God. They try to prove that God does not exist. They try to prove that, hey, God is just a myth of your imagination. Can I tell you, God is not. God's real. God is real. There's an old song. I was asking Brother John if he knew it, and it's so high neither one of us could sing it. Otherwise, I would try to sing it. I'll try to give you a little hum of it. He says, my God is real, real in my soul. Amen? That's about all I'm going to do because it gets so high, I'd be squealing. Amen? But it's an old song. It's in your blue hymn book, page 310, I believe it is, if you want to look at it. But it talks about how do you know God's real? Because he's living in here. Amen? You can feel it. You can know for sure that he's with you. His presence is there. Why? Because God is real. God is real. You know, today, you might say, well, preacher, how do you know he's real? Question I kind of want to ask you is the same way. How do you know, how is God real to you? Have you ever stopped and asked yourself this? Who made the sky blue? Who made the grass green? Who made the water wet? Who made the sun hot? Who made the sun, the rain to water the the gardens. It's God. It's God. Allah did not do it. You say, preacher, isn't he God? No, he's not God. Allah is Satan. It's altogether a different message. You say, you mean the God of the Muslims is not God? No, he's not. It's Satan. We can prove it. We've done in-depth studies to show that it is Satan. Don't have time this morning, but we'd be glad to preach it one more time if you want to know. But God is the God of the universe. God is the true God. Not Allah, not Beelzebub, or any other gods that the world likes to claim. God is God. Is he real to you this morning? With every head bowed and every eye